Well, as you may or may not know, first of all, it's great to see some of you that I haven't seen in a while. It is just a wonderful joy and a privilege to be with you. Christmas is always a great time for me. And we've been enjoying this series called Really a Silent Night. And this was a series that the vicar actually came up with. And he was kind enough to give me like the easy one, which is all about the hymn, Silent Night. And so it's very interesting when I think of this title of Silent Night. This hymn has always fascinated me because I never really understood it that well. I mean, we've been singing this since we were kids, right? As a toddler, as a small child, I remember coming to candlelight services and singing Silent Night. The feelings that it evoked were some very powerful feelings. But I have a problem with the lyrics, because the lyrics, I think, just don't make any sense. So if you don't remember them, I got them written down here, so I just want to read them to you here. Silent night, holy night. Of course, right off the bat, we have a problem with silent night, right? Like, how silent of a night is it when babies are born, and when cows are mooing, and Mary's screaming, and Joseph is apologizing, and you got all these things that are happening. It gets very noisy. It's very messy. All is calm, but all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child. And I never understood that. Round yon virgin. I didn't think she was round anymore. I thought she, once you gave birth, were no longer the round yon virgin. Now, this is what I thought the lyrics meant, right? And be honest, you thought the same thing too, right? It's not round. It's that there's brightness round the virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Now, I have never heard tender to be used on anything other than like a piece of steak. So it never makes, well, how can a baby be tender? And are infants mild? Like, is that the word you would use to describe a baby? I would not use mild. It makes no sense to me. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Okay, I kind of get that a little bit. Silent night, holy night. Now this verse, I'll admit, does make sense. This is really the only verse that is taken from any sort of scripture directly. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Yes, I'm one of those that don't believe that angels sing. You can't prove it to me in scripture. You can try. There's only one passage you can use. I won't tell you where it's at. Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Okay, that one makes, I can deal with it. Now, third verse. Silent night, holy night. Son of God loves pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face. This is, again, a problem I have with most of our beliefs about Jesus is that he glows. Right? When all the lights are turned off, Mary's trying to sleep, and she's like, what is that glowing? And it's Jesus glowing, right? And this is when Jesus is walking on water, right? You know, he was easy to spot. He's the glowing dude. You know, when Judas is about to betray Jesus, they're like, I'll betray him. You'll know who it is by the kiss and the fact that he glows. He's the glowing guy over there. I don't, like, is he, these radiant beams from his holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, and I'm like, I thought this was nighttime, not the dawn. Again, as a kid, you don't really understand these things. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord at thy birth, Jesus, Lord at thy birth. So those are the lyrics that we've sung for so many years. And as I mentioned, it's not very silent. The town of Bethlehem is absolutely overrun with people. There's everyone's there. That's why the inn is full. This is why they had to go into a place out back. This is why Jesus was with cows and donkeys and sheep, which is why he was laid in a manger, was there was no room for him at the inn. So even when the child is born it doesn't really make much sense that it's really that quiet. Again, I've been to a childbirth or two or three, and each one of those, it's not quiet at all. There's a lot of screaming. There wasn't any screaming. Heather had a continuous drip epidural. It was great. We watched baseball games. But I've heard from other people that sometimes it can get a little bit loud and boisterous. So this is what then started me down a deep dive into Silent Night, what the hymn is trying to say and what was trying to be communicated. I discovered three things. First thing I discovered is that the translation of Silent Night is terrible. I honestly now believe that we should just totally and utterly destroy and toss out the English version that we sing of Silent Night. Now, of course, we can't do that. It's too popular. We're going to sing it tonight in its English form, and we will accept it and believe it. But I'm hoping that maybe as we study a little bit of the translation, that will help out. Now, for any of you that have ever done any sort of translation work, you realize how hard it is to go from one language to another. I know enough Greek to be dangerous, and I know enough Hebrew to be dangerous. After that, I can muddle my way in certain places in Mexico, mainly just where's the bathroom. But everything else, when you think about translations, is how hard it is to get that, what we would call a dynamic equivalent. Things often just don't make sense. And it's funny because this is seen all over the place, especially in other countries, like in airports or salons, or you go to another country and they'll have a sign up in its original, and then it will often have an English translation. And sometimes those things can be very, very hilarious. So, are you serious? Already my clicker's not working, Josh.
All right, I'm on it.
I swear. Oh, wait, did I do that or did you do that?
I clicked it.
You did that, okay. All right, stay with me here. Now, it's gonna be hard. You may not be able to read very well, so I'll read it out for you. So this is a great one, I love it. Toilet, place of prayer. I kind of like that translation. Now, this next one is a hair salon that you can find in a place, and it's the high maintenance chick salon. I think that's kind of accurate, right? Yeah. This one is a sign that you'll find. It's a water closet. It says, please don't throw the toilet in the water closet. I think that's actually really good advice. And then how about this one? The street will not be able to walk while eating, right? Because streets have a hard time doing two things at once. I think they're a lot like guys. So, and then this one's great. I don't know, I really wish I could have translated from the original. Please turn on the vacuum cleaner when using the shower. Wow, I guess you gotta clean your body and clean your, I don't get that one. This one's in an airport, I love it. Eating carpet strictly prohibited. That's disgusting. I really want to know what the original, but I can't read the original, so I'm just trusting that, you know. Yeah. Now this one I have to admit is my favorite. Dead slow children playing. Well, usually dead children do play rather slow. They're just kind of motionless there. I think they're trying to say like, please drive slow, I think is maybe, or go at a dead slow pace or something. I think dead slow children playing is great. I love all those. This is the same thing when it comes to translations. What is it actually trying to say? Now, I went online and downloaded the original German. So if you didn't know, Silent Night was written first in German. I don't know German. I can say O Tannenbaum, and I've heard Heather sing the lyrics enough that I could probably muddle through that. But I don't really know German that well. And so I actually asked our office manager, Nicole, who actually speaks German, which I didn't know until we actually started talking about this, but she speaks German. And so I was showing her the lyrics and we were going through it, and a couple times she got stuck and she was like, hold on a second, I'm gonna call my mom and mom's gonna know. So she called her mom and they're going back and forth with all the lyrics. And then it was funny because the mom was like, wait a second, hold on, I don't know what that, hold on, I'm over at Helga's house. Helga will also, and I'm like, who's Helga? Oh, Helga's from Germany. She'll definitely have all the grace. So They sat there back and forth, and I was able to come up with the translation of Silent Night from the original German, and then I also did use a website to give us a little bit of a start. So here, and I'm going to put them up, or Josh is going to put them up here for us, because listen to what it actually says. Silent night, holy night. All are sleeping, alone and awake only, the intimate holy pair. Lovely boy with curly hair, sleep in heavenly peace. Now, I thought that was interesting because when I actually told Nicole that it actually talks about Jesus has curly hair, she's like, that's not in Silent Night. I said, well, I think that's why she read it. She's like, oh my gosh, I've sung this a million times. Yes, that's exactly what this says. A little bit, but you catch the Silent Night, Holy Night, all are sleeping. The idea behind that is that everything is quiet. It's the calm after the storm. And the idea behind it is that everyone is finally asleep, and the only two people that are awake are Mary and Jesus. And in that still, quiet time, they're able to bond and have this intimate, holy moment while everyone else is asleep. And I asked about the word silent, and she said, well, yeah, silent's probably not a correct translation. I'll pronounce it in the original German and tell me what maybe the English equivalent. So it's Stille Nacht. Yeah, it's like the Steelers have, no, it's not the Steelers. So they're playing right against the Raiders. Do not tell me the score. Okay, still. It's not that it's silent, it's quiet. It's still. There might be other sounds that are there, but it's just the two of them. I've already had a couple of these moments myself. It's one of the joys that I have as a pastor. Many a times on Fridays, after I finish with a lot of my work, I've finished for the week, I feel like I've done as much as I can. And many times, right, I text Heather and I say, hey, I'm locking up and coming home. And then I'll walk through and I'll make sure all the doors are locked, but oftentimes I'll come into here. And I'll stand up here and all the lights are off and it's still. I might be able to hear the noise of Chapman Avenue behind me, but it's quiet. And it's often during those moments that I feel and experience much more the presence of God. Maybe you'll experience that tonight. Have little children that wildly open up all of their presents. It'll be the time when they finally fall asleep, or they're not opening presents tonight, but they're waiting for the morning, and you finally get them to go to sleep, and you're like, you've got to go to sleep now. And finally they get there, and you've got like a half an hour before your eyes are going to just fall because you're exhausted, and you have that moment of stillness. That's a silent night. Verse 2. Silent night, holy night. To shepherds, it was first made known through the angel. Alleluia. Sounding forth loudly, far and near, Jesus, the Savior, is here. Does that say anything about the angel singing Alleluia? No, the angels just don't sing. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Even the original composer, the original writer didn't even say the angel. But isn't that beautiful? It's such a poetic and wonderful thing. And then I'm going a little out of order. I'm going through the order of verse 1, 2, and 3, what we would know in our English translation, which in the original would be verse 1, verse 6, and then verse 2. So it's a little strange. So here's our verse 3, the original verse 2. Silent night, holy night. Son of God, oh, how he laughs. Love from your divine mouth. Then it hits us. The hour of salvation. Jesus at your birth. The idea that Jesus as a baby, all the stuff that he did had this incredible, amazing meaning because he was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. I think it's incredible. So I think if we have better translations, I think that it would be a lot better. This was the second thing that I found out that I was really surprised about, and that was the reason behind the writing. Now, does anyone know? I heard anecdotal stories of how Silent Night was written. And then it was fun to actually get the original story.
The organ broke.
The organ broke, yes. Well, let's start off with who wrote Silent Night. It's a guy by the name of Joseph Moore. He was a pastor, and I can't pronounce this correctly unless I look at it. Oberndorf, Austria. Oberndorf, Austria. Isn't that great? Do you want to see a picture of Oberndorf, Austria, the church, where it was at? Check out this church. This is beautiful. Yeah. Who would like to go there and check that out? Well, originally, though, this is where it got relocated to, because originally, the church was located on a river. It looked like this. So this is the church in Oberndorf. And Joseph Moore was a pastor there. 2 years prior to the creation of Silent Night, he had written this poem. He wrote it in 1816. And it had six verses. And he wrote it because the area that he was at the time had just been ravaged by wars. I don't really know much about the Napoleonic Wars, but it was fun researching a little bit about that. These wars lasted for many years, and in 1815, they finally ended. So in 1816, Joseph Moore is actually walking around his town that had just been totally devastated by the war. And the people themselves were still shell-shocked by all of the atrocities that they actually experienced. And he had gone out, and there was a fresh blanket of snow over everything. And it was around Christmas time, and he was so moved at the stillness of the day that's how he came up with this song, Silent Night. It was 2 years later, in 1818, when he was at this church, and sure enough, the organ broke. Do you remember why the organ broke? Yeah, there's two stories. I don't know which one is right, but like most old stories, I'm sure they embellish. It's either that the mice ate the bellows, or that the church was prone to flooding, and the organ was actually destroyed by the floods, which is what's caused everything to be relocated. So this happened right at Christmas time, and so Joseph Moore was really kind of stressed out because he was trying to prepare for Christmas Eve, and everything was falling apart. The organ wasn't working. He didn't really know what to do, and he wanted a special song. So he went to a neighboring city because his friend was there. His name was Franz Gruber. Now, please, not to be confused with Hans Gruber, okay? It's two totally different people, and I was marked safe earlier at the Nakatomi Christmas party. So not Hans Gruber, Franz Gruber. Franz Gruber was a school teacher and a musician, and so Joseph shows up and says, hey, I got this song and I want to sing it for the congregation. And And I don't know exactly how the conversation went, but this is how I imagine it. And Franz is like, well, when do you need it by? And like most pastors, they usually wait till the last minute. And they said, well, I actually need it for tonight. And Franz is like, well, that doesn't make any sense. I can't whip something out in that short amount of time. And he says, I believe you can. And so he sat down and wrote it in the span of 2 hours. He wrote the tune that we now know. They were able to even get a kids' choir to come and back them up. Because the organ was broken, they actually brought out a guitar. The original accompaniment to Silent Night was done with a guitar. So I'm not that good of a guitar player, and so I'm really glad we have someone playing the organ, and our organ is not busted, so thank you, Abigail. You are amazing. So this is the story of Silent Night, and this is what makes, I think, the context of the story being written a little bit more important for us. Because as Heather said for the kids' message, you already know my tendency and my sin when it comes around Christmas is I get very busy, I get very focused on the wrong thing. The nativity is very much hidden in my life. And we've got things we've got to plan, and sometimes things don't work right. I'm just happy to report that everything that I set up for tonight has gone exactly the way I wanted to. I'm actually kind of excited. Nothing's broken. Nothing didn't work. You know, everything is really wonderful. All of you showed up. I was thankful. I had no idea I was going to show up. I know that so many of you really appreciate the vicar and his preaching, and that most of you are going to show up tomorrow to see him preaching. So thank you for coming to the evening service and listening to me preach. We're very busy. Our lives are crazy. I don't know about you, but if I never hear the word pandemic or COVID or N95 ever again, I would be fine. It's been tiring. People are still sick. People are still getting it. Relationships are still getting messed up. People are still getting fired, even around Christmas. I don't know about you, but I sometimes feel that my life is quite war torn. And probably as you look at your life, you could easily say, yeah, things are messed up in my life as well. Things don't always go the way we want them to. Life never goes the way we planned. And then it's times like this for Christmas, where we get to pause for just a moment and really experience what Jesus is doing at this time. And this was the reminder that I had gotten from Isaiah chapter 9. There's this beautiful prophecy that's given about Jesus. And this prophecy helps us understand kind of what he is going to be about. And listen to what it says. You may know it from Christmas songs, Christmas readings. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Peace is that five-letter, very elusive word that misses us quite often during Christmas. I remember thinking to myself, you know, why is he not the King of Peace? Why is he the Prince of Peace? It's just great alliteration. Comes from the original Sar Shalom, which has its own alliteration, Sar meaning prince. The feminine form of Sar would be Sarah, means princess. Jesus himself is the Prince of Peace, and what he's done is he's come in order to take over our war-torn lives, to cover it not with snow, but with his love and his grace and his mercy, and then ultimately his blood. I love when we sing Christmas hymns and there's these reminders that later on he was born for a very important reason. Nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me and for you. The idea that God has come to bring peace starts with the relationship that you and he have. Without a doubt, the most important relationship you could ever have. Your relationship with your parents is crucial. If you have a significant other, maybe you've been married for a while, maybe you've been married for only a little while, maybe you're only dating. Those relationships pale in comparison to the relationship that we're to have with God, because God is going to come into your life and he's going to actually provide peace. So when your life is war torn, when relationships fall apart, when jobs are terminated, and when sicknesses come, when everything seems to be going crazy, tomorrow morning as wrapping paper is flying and you may be saying, I just need a little bit of peace, remember that God has come first and foremost to bring peace into your life by reconciling you back to him. The most important relationship. Jesus did not just come so we could sing some lovely Christmas hymns. He did not come just to show us something incredible. He did not come just to heal the sick. He did not come just to raise the dead. He came in order to save you. He came to save you from your war-torn life, from the sin that is a part of your life, and from all of the stuff that's happened to you. God wants to cover that with his grace. And once we have the peace of God in our life, that peace can now be extended to others. Oftentimes with Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, we stop there. But I really enjoy Isaiah 9, 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Kind of the idea behind that is that whatever is happening, God's peace is greater than that. Whatever you're facing, whatever's going on in your life, whatever pain you're experiencing, whatever sorrow and depression that you might have during this holiday season, no matter if you have to get together with relatives and they are crazy and nutty, it doesn't matter if right now things don't make sense. God has come to bring you peace. There will be no end to that because his love has no end for you. So I want to read to you now the six verses. They'll be up on the screen. I don't know how is best for you. I'm one of those people that I love to see the words and then also speak the words. But maybe you're good at just listening. But what I want you to do right now is this is the time. I don't know how crazy your life is. I know that Manning life is going to get a little nutty and crazy. You know, we're going to go back home. We got some people coming over. And tomorrow it's Christmas. And we got hams to make and mashed potatoes to do and more football to watch. Goodness, it's going to be really hard. But as I think of all the stuff that's happening right here, right now, I want you to experience God's peace, whatever's happening. So if you need to close your eyes, if you need to weep softly, if you need to just take a moment and take a breath, here's the six verses of Silent Night. And again, I'll read them in order of their original. And I pray that this will be God giving you peace right now. Silent night, holy night. All are sleeping. Alone and awake, only the intimate, holy pair. Lovely boy with curly hair. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night. Son of God, oh, how he laughs. Love from your divine mouth. And then it hits us. The hour of salvation. Jesus at your birth. Jesus at your birth. Silent night, holy night, which brought healing to the world from heaven's golden mountains. Grace's abundance was made visible to us. Jesus in human form. Jesus in human form. Silent night, holy night, where on this day all power of fatherly love poured forth. And like a brother, lovingly embraced Jesus, the peoples of the world. Jesus, the people of the world. Silent night, holy night. Already, long ago, planned for us. When the Lord frees from wrath the fathers of ancient times, salvation and a better life promised for the whole world. Then from Luke chapter 2, silent night, holy night, to shepherds it was first made known through the angel. Alleluia. Sounding forth loudly, far and near. Jesus, the Savior, is here. Jesus, the Savior, is here.